I'm here again with Dr. Bottom. Thanks for coming in, Dr. Bottom, and we're going to talk about weight control today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here, Barry. Weight control, so maybe another topic people don't like to talk about over the holiday seasons, but...
I'm one of them.
But it is a topical issue. We're seeing sort of more and more issues with people being overweight, kids being overweight, and it's an increasing concern. And it's become more challenging as we look at it. It used to be the basics where, well, move more, burn more calories, eat less food, and you'll lose weight.
Now, you say obesity. Well, I'm going to call it obesity and overweight. Does that have anything to do with when you're young, the way your parents treat you or feed you when you're young? I've seen a lot about that.
Sure. There are many different factors. So that's why it's been turned out to be very challenging to try to develop strategies to help people lose weight, because many people have tried and tried over and over different techniques. And it's sort of looking at, you know, where do we go with this? What's going to work for you? And what works for you may not work for the next person. So developing individualized approaches to weight loss is becoming more of the mantra now than it used to be.
So obviously it's not one size fits all.
No, exactly. So, you know, you point out some risk factors. So, you know, you're born into a family where people are heavy. Is that genetically because they're heavy? Possibly. Is it because they have unhealthy eating patterns? That's certainly a possibility as well. And you've learned those unhealthy eating patterns. The one thing we know now, or at least it's being predicted, that our kids are not going to live as long as we are. And a big part of that is because of this growing obesity and overweight issues at younger ages, which is causing chronic health conditions.
Wow.
For the first time ever, we had last month, our local physicians, we get together monthly to discuss different topics. Topic last month was identifying type 2 diabetes in adolescents.
Now, you're talking about, overweight. Now, does that have a factor in getting diabetes?
So being overweight is a factor in developing type 2 diabetes. And when I went through my training, you know, it was common knowledge that you didn't really develop type 2 diabetes until you're over 40 or 50 years of age. And now we're talking about diagnosing in adolescence. And that's in a span of 25 years that all of a sudden we're talking about trying to diagnose or pick up these conditions in a younger age. And a big part of that is just the growing epidemic of growing people and at younger ages putting on excessive amounts of weight.
So it all gets back to your diet.
A big part of it comes back to diet. So diet is a huge part of this, but there are other factors. You know, diet, I was thinking last night when we were talking about this, you know, when I was a kid, you could have, because you were older than me, go into any store, pick up a pack of cigarettes off the shelf, go up to the cashier, buy your cigarettes, and take them out the door. So that's the way it used to be.
Can't do that now.
There is some talk about limiting access to unhealthy foods for possibly kids, teenagers. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? You have to go up to the cashier and say, I'd like a chocolate bar, and you'd sort of look around to see who was watching you, and they'd pull it out of the back rack. But there are different jurisdictions. They've looked at it in Quebec. They looked at it in places in Europe. Mayor Bloomberg in New York City talked about limiting the size of soft drinks. So limiting junk food, limiting our access to junk food is becoming a bit of a mantra, because we know that junk food is an issue because it's so high in calories, it's very low in nutrients, and people just have a hard time burning off all those extra calories.
And the first thing you think of when you think of those types of foods is French fries.
French fries, that's big on the list. Potato chips is
a
big one.
Well, I mean, anything Candy related bars. To potatoes.
Potatoes, yes, they're a good one. But there's all the sugar-sweetened beverages, so pop. A lot of people don't even think about that, but pop. So access to foods, that's an important consideration because the foods have changed over the last 25, 30 years. But life has changed in many other ways. So we're sort of identifying other factors as well that may be influence our ability, because it'd be easy enough for me to say, well, stop drinking pop and stop eating potato chips and poutine and you'd be fine. But for some people, it still doesn't work.
So what are the secrets? What can you tell our listeners that they might be able to do that would lessen this cause of diabetes?
Sure. So yeah, looking at the ability, so it's not just diabetes, there's many other factors or conditions that are a result of weight, excessive weight, issues with arthritis, issues with heart disease, increased risk of stroke, certain cancers are increased, bowel and bladder disorders may be increased, incontinence issues. So there's many different health conditions that can be a repercussion of carrying the extra weight along.
Now, speaking about that, what do we do to get rid of that extra weight if we're carrying it?
Sure. Well, I think getting some good nutritional information will be helpful. And one thing I'd like to do is bring a dietitian onto our show to talk about some of the common misconceptions we have about food. it may be worth sort of going in and talking to your physician or arranging to see a dietitian or nurse practitioner to talk about your diet and lifestyle and areas where you might be able to improve to help move your calorie balance in your favor.
So getting away from the dietetic part, or, you know, dietitians sure. coming in and doing that, yeah. mm-hmm. what can you suggest?
Right now? Sure. So I think important things we want to sort of look at, you know, we've talked a little bit about fitness on another episode, you know, get out and get moving is helpful to your metabolism. It's helpful to reduce your risk of diabetes, heart disease, arthritis. So it may counter some of the effects, even if you are carrying extra weight. So get moving is important. Whether that activity will help you lose weight or not, that's another story, but it has many benefits that are going to help you in the long term. Cutting back on any sugary beverages is very important. So your pops, your candies, things where there's hidden sugars, things that are very high in calories, but very low in nutrients. So a lot of your carbohydrates, fried foods, battered foods, breads and cereals sometimes are very high in calories, but very low in nutrients. So eating more fruits and vegetables, eating more lean proteins, lean fish, chicken, nuts, poultry can be very beneficial.
Now I've noticed in our family, we have moved from white bread to whole wheat.
Right.
Now, I guess that is one of the things you can do to help getting... Now, some of the white breads have fibers in them, but I guess we're getting into a dietitian's section.
Sure, and I think that'll be important for our dietitian to talk a little bit about the differences, but sometimes there's some fallacies out there that some foods are more healthy than others, and again, we're being bombarded by advertisers, and their claims aren't always what they are, and one of the other things they want to limit is not only access to junk foods, but maybe access to advertisements for junk food. And I think they've done a study where a child watching cartoons on a Saturday morning is bombarded by at least 7 different food advertisements. And pretty well all of those are for unhealthy, high-calorie, low-nutrient foods. So limiting that. And apparently in Quebec, they've had some success with this. Part of the issue is that a lot of the French-Canadian children aren't watching American TV or English-speaking TV, I should say, that has a lot of these commercials. So they have a little bit more control over what commercials that their children are watching and being exposed to. So they've taken this issue very seriously.
And what are we doing here to take that issue seriously?
Well, there's a lot of politicians talking about these things, but it's very hard to move forward. You know, it was hard enough with smoking, so I used that analogy earlier, to try to make those changes and many years to make those sort of changes. Food is essential. Food, you need food. You have to eat food. You need it to survive. So to make those changes with something that is part of our daily culture is going to be very difficult. But I think we're going to have to move in that direction.
So if you've, in other words, if you're meat and potatoes and that type of fellow and you go way back and, you know, everything's going along fine, that's all well and good. But
sure.
It won't work for somebody else.
Well, that's correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who say, well, I eat a healthy diet, but then I also have my cheesecake and I have my chips. And you can't just keep adding calories onto it. Eating a healthy diet doesn't negate the unhealthy things that you put in your mouth. You have to look at the total
calories. You have to
calories.
Look at the scale and figure
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well with the dietitian. But a couple other things, you know, you mentioned what else can you do? And it's maybe, again, talking with your physician, looking at your lifestyle. But there's some other factors that I want to mention that they're sort of looking at that might tie in with difficulties controlling weight. And food cravings, because people say, well, I just crave food. I have to eat all the time. Well, you probably don't. Your body really doesn't need that, but there may be other things that are causing those cravings. So things such as medications. If you happen to be on steroids, maybe on certain types of birth control, certain antidepressant medications may actually artificially be giving you hunger cravings. Caffeine. How much coffee do you drink? If you're drinking a lot of coffee, that can actually stimulate hunger cravings. So even if you're not needing the calories, your body thinks you do because of excessive caffeine. And the other big one that we're learning more about is artificial sweeteners. So they did a study looking at people who drank sort of regular soft drinks and those who drank diet soft drinks. The people drinking diet soft drinks actually gained more weight.
Diet soft drinks gained more weight.
Not because of the soft drink. It was the hunger cravings from the artificial sweetener. So the artificial sweetener basically tricked the brain into thinking you were getting some calories, and people became very hungry and were eating more. So they were eating more calories. So even though they were drinking less calories in their diet soft drink, the artificial sweetener was tricking their brain into thinking that they needed more.
Isn't that interesting?
So those things. Sleep deprivation. So I don't know, people who work shift work, people who don't sleep well at night, people with sleep apnea, often have more hunger cravings and have more difficulty controlling their weight. So you might come into my office and you're a shift worker, maybe you're with the OPP or a nurse or something, you're having difficulty, you think you're eating healthy, but maybe it's as simple as trying to redevelop your sleep pattern. So sometimes the recipe or menu or prescription for weight loss may be tied in with diet, but it could be tied in with lifestyle, medications. So looking at the whole package. So we're learning more about, you know, why do some people do better on diets than others? What other factors are there that we have to manipulate to help people have success in controlling their weight?
This is interesting because you mentioned sleep apnea having something to do with weight, and I never figured that would be a part of the equation.
Sure, yeah, but the brain needs rest, and with sleep apnea, people often don't have restful sleep patterns. You may be laying in bed for 8 or 10 hours a night, but the brain isn't rested, and when the brain isn't rested, for some reason, it seems to crave more calories, so you're more likely to eat the next day. And then it can become a vicious circle. As you know, people who are overweight often are more likely to have sleep apnea issues. So it can be very difficult.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Any more suggestions?
I think I sort of mentioned success will depend on an individualized approach. Many things have been tried. So just briefly, medications to help you with weight loss, many of them do work to lose weight, but unfortunately have very serious or can potentially have very serious side effects. So a lot of them have fallen out of favor over the years. And even bariatric surgery. So that's where they shrink the stomach or staple the stomach or bypass the stomach. Some people have very incredible success with it, but other people are fraught with significant complications. So coming back, you know, we want this to be a lifestyle issue. We want to encourage you to lead a healthy lifestyle and eat healthy and try to lose weight in a natural way and try to find a nice healthy weight balance. Not everybody has to be an ideal weight. There's quite a wide and healthy range of weights out there, but you want to be healthy at that weight, and eating healthy and keeping physically active is an important part of doing that.
So get active and get healthy. Thanks very much, Dr. Bottom. We appreciate your information.
You're welcome, Barry.
Take care.